very chaotic, very polarized. And seeing just the challenges right now, do some of you recall back in your childhood where you didn't have all these stressors, you didn't have to face all these conflicts and tension? I've been thinking recently about my childhood and thinking the fun that we used to enjoy. And of course, one of the things as children we always enjoy is playing, right? Right, kids? We enjoy playing. Sometimes us adults too enjoy playing. But what were some of the games that you played when you were small? Some of you may have played, any of you played Red Rover? Red Rover, let someone come over? Or kick the can? Or skating? Any of you played British Bulldog? And, of course, one of my favorite games to play was hide and seek. That was my favorite game to play, especially when we had the neighbors come over and visit us. We had a big yard and big yard lights, and then the house and garage and granaries and then farm equipment. So there was lots of places to hide. So when a person would be counting, closing their eyes and counting, then we all found a place to hide. Now, my favorite place to hide was a little bale house that we had behind our old house. Why I liked that hiding spot was because it was dark there. You couldn't really see the bale house. And when you hid in the bale house and someone came looking for you, they couldn't see you. They couldn't find you. And I used to feel so safe and secure in that bale house, hiding in the bale house. You know, now with our world, as I'm mentioning, being so dark and scary right now, and is it going to get any better? We know that it's not going to get any better. The safest place we can be right now is to be hidden in Christ, to be hidden in Him and to seek Him with all of our hearts. And I just want to talk with you briefly about this. I invite you to open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And I don't plan on keeping you here till 12:30. We just want to touch on this real quick. Colossians chapter 3. We need to understand why the Apostle Paul is writing the book of Colossians. He's speaking to the Colossian believers because they're having some challenges there. We see that the Judaizers and the pagan element are doing everything in their community to discredit and devalue the ministry of Jesus Christ. So as a result, the Apostle Paul wanted to exalt Christ in his ministry and the preeminence of his position and work on their behalf. And that's where we read in chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. He sort of summarizes what he's been mentioning previously. Follow along with me. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. It says, "If then," or some of your translations say, "since then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." Here we find in this passage the Apostle Paul proclaiming the preeminence of Christ for salvation, of them being hidden in whom? Hidden in Christ, participating together with Him in His what? In His death and resurrection, in the sense that, as He mentions here, that you have, since you have been raised up together with Christ. Well, how were they raised up together with Christ? And then He mentions in verse 3, "For you died." Well, were they still alive? Yes, from a physical perspective, they were still alive. But they died how? In Christ. And I just want to illustrate what the Apostle Paul was saying, because he said, you've been raised up together with Christ, you have died with Him, and to seek Him, to set your mind on Him, because now He is your life. What is he meaning by that? Well, let's turn to chapter 1 real quick. Look at chapter 1, and here the Apostle Paul once again is speaking about the preeminence of Christ. And if you can look at verse 15, he says, speaking of Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, speaking about he is the perfect representation of whom? His Father. I and the Father are one. He was the perfect representation of his Father. He is before all things, and in him all things exist. He created all things. He holds all things together. Everything exists because of him. And then he says in verse 18, he is what? He is the head of the body, which is the church. Now, what does it mean, the Apostle Paul mean, when he says he is the head of the body? Very important that we understand this. When he refers to as the head, he is the representative head of humanity, of the church, of believers. Now, he is the representative head. Who was the representative head of humanity previous? Who was it? It was Adam. What does Adam mean? Adam means mankind. Adam was the representative head of humanity. And the Apostle Paul in Romans 5, he talks about that Adam, because of his disobedience, what did he bring upon all humanity as the first representative of the human race? What did he bring upon humanity? Sin, condemnation, and death. Adam, as the first representative of humanity, the head of the whole human race, but sin, condemnation, and death. Now, I want to illustrate what the Apostle Paul means by this, just to help you to understand. What is this? This is, those of you from Russia, Ukraine, it's the nesting dolls, right? Nesting dolls. Now, how many of you have seen these before? Those of you who are Russian, Ukrainian, some others, you have seen this. Now, here, this is a picture of a painting of an angel. And I'm using this to illustrate about Adam. Adam, as the head of the whole human race, he brought sin, condemnation, and death upon all humanity because all humanity was in Adam. All humanity, when Adam sinned and experienced condemnation and death, who sinned in Adam and was condemned and experienced death in Adam because of his disobedience? Who? All humanity in Adam. It's the law of genetics. Like, for example, those of you watching Vienna and Brooke being baptized, do you see some similarities between them and mom and dad? Can you see it in the facial features? Yeah, there's some genetic similarities there because of the law of genetics. And the same thing is true through the law of genetics. When Adam sinned, who was in Adam? Who was in Adam? We all were in Adam, that as a result, we've been cursed with this disease called what? Sin, and experience because of sin. The wages of sin is death. That we experience condemnation because of Adam's choice, and death. That's because of Adam's choice, the first Adam. But who is the new head and representative of humanity? Who is he? It is Christ. And that's what the Apostle Paul speaks in Romans 5. Talks about the first Adam. Then Jesus came in the likeness of Adam. And I want you to look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. The Apostle Paul is talking about why it is important that we understand that Jesus is the new representative head of humanity. He became man. He became man on behalf of all humanity. And notice what Apostle Paul says from verses 11 through 13. He says, "In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the circumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you of all your trespasses." Here, the Apostle Paul is telling all the believers there, he was talking about them being experiencing circumcision by putting off sin from the flesh. But he then relates it, ties it to what? Baptism, being baptized into Christ. Now, we don't have time to go to Romans chapter 6, but Vienna and Brooke experienced the reality of Romans chapter 6 in being baptized into whom? Baptized into Christ. Because baptism into Christ, you are publicly proclaiming your identification with Christ. And this is what the Apostle Paul was saying, that when Christ was crucified and went into the grave and died, Christ as the new head and representative of humanity, when Jesus died and went into the grave, who was in him? All humanity was in him, because he's the head and representative of humanity. So all humanity died together with Christ. And did Jesus stay in the grave? How long was he in the grave for? For 3 days, and then he was resurrected. He was resurrected and he ascended into the very presence of God, bringing who together with him in him? Who did he raise up together with him into the very presence of God? Who did he? All humanity. Is that true? I want you to look at Ephesians 2 real quick. Ephesians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul is saying the same thing there. Ephesians chapter 2. Notice what he says here. Verse 1, he said, "And you he made alive." We just read about being made alive, being raised and made alive. "And you he made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the rest," because they were all born in whom? Adam. Because of Adam's sin, this is the lot of all sinful humanity. But notice what he says in verse 4. What does he say first? But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us what? Alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together with him, and made us sit together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his masterpiece. We are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works which he prepared in advance that we should walk in them. Profound passage illustrating what we just read about being baptized into Christ. Because when Christ died and he went into the grave 3 days, who died together with him? All sinful humanity with him died with him. When he was resurrected, who was raised up together with him? All sinful humanity. And where Christ is right now, seated at the right hand of God, Jesus seated at the right hand of God, who sits at the right hand of God together with him. What did we just read? Who did Paul say? We, all of us, have been raised up together with Christ so that we might now be recipients of the grace of God, so that by the grace of God we might become his masterpiece, his workmanship, because we all have died in Christ. We all have been raised up together with Christ. We all inhabit heavenly places. We live together with Christ. And Christ now lives within us through his Spirit. Romans 5 talks about that. Ephesians chapter 3 also talks about that, but we don't have time to go there. Jesus Christ now lives within humanity. We are in Christ. And who is in us? The Spirit of God is within us. Jesus Christ lives and reigns within us, as the Apostle Paul says in Colossians. If we continue in the faith, if we believe that in Christ we all were crucified, died together with him, that we've been elevated into the very presence of God, that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus, sharing the very throne with Christ next to God, and that he now lives within us. Now, go back to Colossians 3. This is what the Apostle Paul is talking about being hidden in Christ. Colossians chapter 3. He says, Since then, you were raised together with Christ. How were we raised together with Christ? Well, we just read about it. When Jesus was resurrected, all of us were resurrected together with Christ. We were resurrected with him, but first we died together with him when he was crucified and in the grave. All humanity was crucified and died together with him. And as he continues here in Colossians 3, he says, because we are sitting at the right hand of God, raised up together with him, we are to what? Verse 2. Set our minds what? On things above, not on things below. Why? Notice what he says in verse 3. Because you've died. Your old sinful nature is what? It's dead. Your old sinful, you have a new nature that desires God, not the things of the flesh. You have died, and your life is hid together with God in Christ. And Christ, who is our life, says, for you died and your life is hidden together with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, and when it says when Christ, who is our life, appears, it actually means to be revealed. When he is revealed in his fullness, when Christ himself is revealed in his fullness, who also will be revealed together with him in glory? We will. Because as Christ is, when we're hidden in Christ, raised up together with him, living with him in heavenly places, and him living within him, as he is, so are we. Very important principle. By beholding, we become what? Change. If you believe that you've died together with Christ, and you've been raised up together with him, and he lives in you, then by beholding, you become changed, because you are one together with Christ and God the Father. You set your mind on things above because that's where you live, by faith. Now, tell me something. Couples, family, do you live in the same house? Are you family? Do you talk together? Do you talk together? Do you communicate with each other? Do you discover things about each other? Good and bad, because you're one together in a family unit. So as a result, your mind is engaged in interacting with one another, and you take on the environment that you place yourself, whatever environment that is created at home, right? Well, brothers and sisters, who is your spiritual family? Who is your father? Who is your brother? Do you live together with Christ in heavenly places? Are you setting your mind on the spiritual reality, or are you too preoccupied with all the material problems down here that you don't set your mind on the spiritual realities, the true realities of your eternal life. Because once again, this is Jesus, who is hidden in Christ. All of us are hidden in Christ by faith. Jesus became man, the new, living, victorious, righteous representative of the whole human race. And he invites all of us to be hidden in him, that where he is, we may be also. And if you are in heavenly places in Christ, you will set your mind on those things. You will engage in intimacy with your heavenly Father because of what he has done for you. Because now, hidden in Christ, are you safe and secure? When I hid in the bailhouse, was I safe and secure? I felt safe and secure. No one could find me. In Christ, we are safe and secure because identified in him, we are free from the old man of sin. We are Christ's masterpiece. His Spirit is working within us. And as we engage in conversation with him and see his glory as his glory is unfolded by the Spirit and the Word of God, then we become like him. By beholding, we become changed because we've identified ourselves now with our brother and Savior and great high priest, Jesus Christ. He is our identity. We choose to walk in Christ and allow him to walk in us through his Spirit to change and transform us into his likeness. Now, someone is very smart because he's doing the same thing. You know, identity theft is on the rise right now, isn't it? And here in Canada, I believe there was something like 37,000 people that were affected by identity theft. Now, they lose money from that, but the stress of having to recoup the losses, work with the insurance agency, the banks, it's overwhelming. But we are very soon going to be confronted with a much bigger identity theft. And you know what identity theft that is going to be? That's going to affect the whole human race? 2 Corinthians, I believe 11 verse, I forget where it is right now, but it says Satan is going to steal whose identity? He is going to steal Christ's identity, and he's going to come to our planet, and is he going to speak like Christ? Is he going to act like Christ? Is he going to do miracles like Christ? In fact, he's going to do things. He's going to speak from the Bible. He's going to do so much like Christ that even the very elect might be what? Deceived. Even the very elect might be deceived because he has stolen the identity of Christ. Brothers and sisters, our only safety is for us to assume the identity of Christ, to be hidden in Christ. Because when we're hidden in Christ, the old man is dead together with Christ, that Satan cannot deceive us. He has no power over us. Because did Jesus defeat Satan when Satan tried to deceive him? And who was in Christ when Jesus was victorious over Satan's deceptions? We all were in Christ, that by faith the whole human race can experience victory over Satan's lies, over sin's hold upon us, over death itself, because we have chosen by faith to hide in Christ. Are you choosing this afternoon to be hidden in Christ? Are you identifying yourself with him? Are you raised up together with him, seeking him, setting your mind on him? If you are, the Apostle Paul then, and you can look at the remaining verses, he talks about with them that they will put off what? They will put off the old man, the flesh. They will put off the deeds of the flesh, and they will put on what? The new man. The new man, the new masterpiece in Christ Jesus. They will live a new life because of faith. They have chosen to identify themselves together with Christ. Brothers and sisters, this morning I appeal to you to do what the Apostle Paul says. Set your mind on things above. Seek the things that are above, because you have been raised up together with Christ. You live together with Christ. You share the throne together with Christ. And He now lives within you through His Spirit. And He will work in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. Seek Him so that by beholding what will happen, you will become changed into His likeness by the Spirit. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Thank you for coming to our planet in the person of your Son and completely identifying yourself with us, sinful humanity, to rescue us. And Father, just as Adam fell and passed on sin and condemnation unto all of us, Jesus, you came for us, and you defeated sin and Satan and death on our behalf. And because of your resurrection, you have elevated us all into the very presence of your Father. You have reconciled us. You have redeemed us. And you dwell within us through your Spirit. And you make us your masterpiece. Father in heaven, fill us with your Spirit. Enable us to cooperate with you in this grand work so that we may not be deceived by the enemy, especially his final deception and his identity theft. Father, we want to be transformed into the likeness of Christ, that we may be part of the 144,000 that will live only for you, to represent you, so that others may see you hidden in us, that they may come to a recognition of you and be won over to you. Father, transform us, use us for your glory, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.